You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, living wage was raised to $29.90. This puts it at roughly $6 more than minimum wage, sparking debate and discussions around the need for a raise in minimum wage, particularly amidst the fuel crisis placing more pressure on Aotearoa's workers. I spoke with Assistant National Secretary of the Air 2 Union, Annie Newman, about living wage, the discrepancy with minimum wage, and the political nature of the government's ability to raise the latter. How does living wage actually work?
Well, the living wage is a standard, and so it's set independently of any single organisation. It's set by the Family Centre Social Policy Research Unit, which is based in the Hutt in Wellington, and they set a standard so that people understand what it takes to live a modest but decent life. So it works as a, you might call it an aspirational target. You could call it a campaigning rate. You could call it a rate that defines the amount a person needs in order to live a decent life.
And with it just to being raised, I think it comes to about $6 more than minimum wage. What does that discrepancy tell us about the state of the cost of living and where workers are?
I think it tells a very important story for Kiwis right now. What it says is that working people are struggling. It's not just people out of work who are struggling. It's also people who are going out and doing 40 hours of work a week, and yet they still cannot afford to live a decent life. It's a really broken social contract in my mind. So I think that what we're seeing is a minimum wage, which is the amount that an employer must pay, being a long way from the living wage, which is the amount a person needs. In fact, it takes us right back to about 2013, when we first set the living wage rate, and there was about a 30% difference. So it got closer and closer and closer about three years ago until now. It's gone way apart in a very short period of time.
And so with that in mind, why is minimum wage lagging behind so much?
Well, the minimum wage is set by government. So that's a determination which is entirely political. They'll use a few figures from here and from there. They'll say that they're balancing up the likelihood of unemployment with the needs of workers to have enough to survive. But actually, at the end of the day, it's a political determination. And so, the ACT coalition party didn't want the minimum wage to go up at all. There was big pressure. New Zealand First has always supported a higher minimum wage, and coming down there in the middle is the final decision, which was actually less than the cost of living increase. So it was not enough to keep up with the cost of living for workers.
And so is this issue as simple as the government should raise the minimum wage? Is that something that they can just do? Or does there need to be a little bit more action to get this gap to close?
Well, there's always, to my mind, there's always been action required to get any decent thing through Parliament at all, whether that's unions, communities, faith groups, all of the people that come together under the living wage movement. Their actions have made a difference. So their actions actually made a difference in the government retaining a living wage as part of the procurement rules for the core public service. So that was a big win in very hostile times. But I think that what you'll find is that unless people are fighting to say the minimum wage is not enough, it simply will not go up, because this government, this coalition government, is interested in what is a win for business. They are not interested in ordinary working people.
And, I mean, with that in mind, and you touched on it with, obviously, the ACT Party's opposition to raising the minimum wage, what does it say that the minimum wage is often kind of sidelined and dismissed in wider conversations about the economy or how well people are doing?
Well, that's absolutely true. And if you look at the inflation target for the Reserve Bank, that used to be jobs and inflation. This current coalition government removed the requirement for jobs to be taken into consideration. So the entire orientation of this current government is about what is good for business. And actually, at the end of the day, what you find is if you don't make sure what the government does is also good for working people, then it actually won't benefit businesses as well. And you can see that right now with the number of businesses that are going under. It's enormous. Small to medium-sized New Zealand businesses are going under across construction, but also in the hospitality sector and many other sectors. It's very difficult to do business if workers don't have money in their pockets and they go out and spend it. So we are in a situation where it's not good for anybody. What's good for workers is actually good for business, but that's a hard message to get through.
And obviously, the cost of living crisis has been, you know, rocking Aotearoa for some time now, but particularly looking at the situation now with the fuel crisis going on, really hitting the wallets of New Zealanders hard, what does it say, kind of thinking about the avenues that the government has taken to kind of support struggling New Zealanders with the limited $50 a week support package? What role could raising the minimum wage play here?
Well, I think it's a really important role. It is entirely within the government's brief to increase the minimum wage. They can do anything they like. So they can do that. But they can do other things that affect the spending power of workers. They in some countries, they've removed excise tax from petrol. In other countries, they've provided free public transport. In fact, in a couple of states in Australia, they've provided free public transport. There are so many things this government could do that they won't do that would alleviate some of the pressure alongside increasing the minimum wage or alongside making sure that they encourage others to pay the living wage. So I think that there are a lot of, you know, parts of a very complex puzzle, but what we know for sure is that what this government is doing is not helping the life of working people and their families.
And so with that said then, what does Etu in particular kind of want to see from the government, both looking now, you know, responding to this fuel crisis, but also with maybe successive governments coming in on really making a stance about supporting New Zealand's workers through wage?
Yes, well, one of the things that you can do to support workers through better wages is to support unions to function. Because unless there is a dialogue, a debate, an ongoing negotiation about what the terms and conditions will be for workers, then you will find that employers have power over workers and suppress wages. That's just what happened. So globally, we know all the evidence points to better, less inequality, better wage outcomes when you enable unions to operate. This government has kept stripping away the ability of unions to operate. Often seemingly tiny technical things, like that a worker is covered by an existing collective agreement for the first 30 days of their employment. That means that they are not under pressure at the point at which they sign on to take on the job to take less money. If there's a collective agreement there, they should be covered by that. If they decide at the end of 30 days that they're going to not be covered by it, then they go on to an individual employment agreement and they have to negotiate that separately with the employer. If they stay with the collective, then they must be in the union. Now, these are things that ensure collectivism has some weight, has some power behind it on the job, and that brings about better wage outcomes.
And kind of just to wrap up, obviously different parties have different stances on minimum wage, but particularly from those parties who maybe are more likely to kind of look at it as a reasonable tool to use, what sort of stance do you want to see from them going into this election around whether or not they're going to raise minimum wage?
Well, I think that what we should be saying is that everybody should be calling on the next government to implement a living wage at least within the areas that are under the government's control. And that's a lot of the economy. So when you look at not just the core public service, but the wider state sector, and we're going into schools and hospitals and residential care, the amount of business that the government funds in this country is enormous, but they fund it through private providers. If as a funder, they make the decision that anybody who receives government funding is going to be paid no less than the living wage, you will see a transformation across many, many thousands of workers. So we need to challenge the government to put the money where their mouth is, to actually make sure that all of those people are paid the living wage, and that when it comes to the next minimum wage, they start to take a stepped process towards the minimum wage being the equivalent of the living wage, so that workers always can be guaranteed if they go out and they sell their labour, they will actually get enough money to live as a result of it.
That was Assistant National Secretary of Aotearoa, Annie Newman, on living wage rising and where that leaves minimum wage.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.